May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 15. How shall I praise the eternal God, that infinite unknown? Who can ascend his high abode, or venture near his throne? Hymn number 15.
Reading together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 10, and then also from Psalm 20. Reading first from the second book of Samuel, chapter 10, and we will begin to read at verse 6. It is a chapter that David had sent to show kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto him. But David, in sending his ambassadors and so forth, they were those who put them to shame. And so here, in the words of our text, we begin at verse 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah 1,000 men, and of Ishtob 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abiashar, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, "If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together, and Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together, and passed over Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David, and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. Reading together from Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, our God, we come before thee at this time, and as we have sung together in our first hymn, who can approach unto thee? Who can be accepted before thee? And to whom wilt thou respect and look down upon and take notice of? To whom wilt thou be mindful of? O Lord, we do thank thee that it is nothing in and of ourselves, nothing that we can do or accomplish, nothing in us, Lord, that can give thee any honour, praise or glory, just on the contrary, Lord. But Lord, we thank thee that through the merits and the person alone of thy dearly beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that divine work of grace in the soul of a sinner, brought humbled under thy mighty hand to seek thee and to serve thee and to worship at thy feet. And, O Lord, we deem it a great mercy to be enabled to come forth before thee, poor, needy, helpless sinners, needing such great help, even at this time, O Lord, seeking, Lord, the graces of thy Spirit, seeking, Lord, through thy word, that thou wilt appear unto us and draw us effectually and powerfully to thyself, that we may be blessed with a teachable spirit, and that we might learn and know of thee, and be like unto thy handmaid Mary, ready, Lord, to hear thy voice. And, O Lord, we do pray for that grace to prepare us, Lord, that grace, Lord, that will make us willing in the day of thy power to hear and to receive thy word into our hearts. We do pray that this indeed may be that set time to favour Zion. But Lord, we continue to need thy help, Lord, to remove from us, Lord, those things that come in and upon us, those things that constantly come into our hearts, Lord, as we are found in the pews of thy house. And Lord, we know, Lord, that Satan himself is ready to be beside thy people in the pews of thy house and beside thy servant in the pulpit. And we're conscious of his devices, Lord, but we look unto thee, Lord, that thou wilt come in thy rich grace, put faith into our hearts and pour forth thy Spirit, Lord, that we may be enabled, Lord, to worship thee, and with that true contrite heart, and in a singular way, Lord, to worship at thy feet. Remove everything that would come in upon us, Lord, all distractions, Lord, all the cares of this life, Lord, the things of time and sense, Lord, the things that concern us in our very homes, Lord, our very businesses, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray that these things indeed this time may be put far from us. And, Lord, help us. Help us to come that we might feel after thee and desire, Lord, that thou wilt put real and true affections in our hearts towards thee, that we might have a desire, Lord, to be found those with hearing ears and understanding hearts, that we might be those, Lord, that may be truly blessed at this time to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, we do pray, come to our help, Lord, where we're so dependent in and upon thee, Lord, to come and do these things for us. O Lord, bring us then to seek thee and to serve thee, and in the precious truths of thy gospel, Lord, reveal and manifest thyself to us, Lord. And make known to us, Lord, the blessings of thy salvation. Make known to us our need of Jesus as a Saviour of our souls, Lord. Leave us not, Lord, to ourselves, to our own hearts, Lord, but show to us, each one, Lord, our need of a Saviour, and that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to draw near to each one of us and bless us with thy salvation. O Lord, the eldest to the youngest, Lord, we prayerfully commit to thee at this time, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to each, Lord, and draw each heart and affection to thee, we pray thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for bringing us to another Lord's day, Lord. 'Tis in the riches of thy grace, thy care, and thy providence towards us, Lord, that thou hast watched over us and preserved us through another week, Lord. Thou hast brought us through many dangers, both seen and unseen. Lord, we are in thy hands. We thank thee for that mercy, Lord, under thy constant preservation, care and keeping. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for that. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy constraining love upon us. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy fear in our hearts, Lord, that we shall not depart from thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give unto us those true and thankful hearts, Lord, for all thy dealings with us through the days of the week that is now past. O Lord, thou hast been good to us, Lord, better than what we deserve, Lord. We confess, Lord, and repent, Lord, to many sad wanderings and departings from thee, Lord, in heart and in mind, and the solemn truth, Lord, that when we would do good, evil being present with us, Lord, a constant enemy of sin, Lord, and the proneness of the heart given to much carnality and to much of this world, Lord. And Lord, we have to confess before thee, Lord, that thou knowest those things that come in and upon us. And Lord, our sad departings, wayward hearts, and thy servant David complained so much that he was like as a sheep that had gone astray and he couldn't bring himself back. O Lord, we do pray, cause us to return. Cause us again, Lord, to know that we are thy people, Lord, and Cause us to flee to that only refuge for our souls, and where we can plead and seek the blessing of the fountain of thy precious blood, cleansing and healing, Lord. O Lord, we thank thee for the throne of grace. And O Lord, how often thou knowest that we have visited that place, telling thee, Lord, all our sad case and our need. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou art the same yesterday and today and forever, unchanging in thy love and in thy mercy. And, O Lord, thou art long-suffering towards us, Lord, and we thank thee, Lord, for that. We thank thee, then, that thou dost bless with a true mourning spirit, Lord, over the solemn and sad departings of our hearts from thee. But, Lord, the cleansing flood, oh, we want to feel that healing balm once more. Oh, we want to know the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. The cry and the prayer of thy servant, the hymnist, Lord, heal us. Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that all our comings to the throne of grace and our continual confessions before thee, Lord, that thou dost not grow weary of us, Lord, but doth receive us, O Lord, and our prayers and our petitions in thy love and mercy towards us. Oh, we do pray and thank thee then, Lord, that thou hast watched over us and brought us through another week, Lord, and to this another Lord's day. Oh, do help us, Lord, to serve thee. Lord, may we enter, we pray thee, into that gospel rest and that peace in our souls that is in Jesus. And draw our hearts out towards him who has done such great things for us. May we never forget thee, Lord, and what it did cost thee, Lord, to renew us, to redeem us and to save us, Lord. Oh, bring us often, Lord, to behold the greatness of our salvation. And through, Lord, those sufferings that thou didst endure and pass through, that all the sins, the iniquities of thy people borne out upon thee, Lord, the wrath of God, and the broken law, and the solemn truth, Lord, of all our sins and iniquities, all borne out upon thee, Lord. And we do pray and thank thee, Lord, as we think and contemplate, Lord, those great drops of blood that thou didst sweat in Gethsemane, every drop for every poor sinner that should be saved and redeemed. O Lord, we do pray, bring us, Lord, into that true conformity of thy sufferings and thy death. Let us behold thee, Lord, in the greatness of thy love and thy grace to sinners, and the fulfilling of thy heavenly Father's will concerning us, the church saved and redeemed through thy precious blood. O, do come to us now, Lord. We've come to thy house of prayer, Lord, all with differing needs and differing concerns, Lord, and look down upon each case and each need, Lord. Thou hast heard the prayers and the petitions that have been offered up to thee in the pews of thy house. Oh, do be prayer hearing and prayer answering, Lord, unto thy people. Oh, that, Lord, if thou hast put a cry into the soul, if thou didst put that cry into the souls of the children of Israel, that their cry came up unto thee and thou hast heard them and thou wast going to appear for them. And, Lord, thou didst come down in the greatness of thy power. So come, Lord, hear the prayers and the petitions of thy people at this time. We pray thee, Lord, and that thou wilt be pleased to answer whatsoever their case or need may be, Lord. Nothing is too hard for thee, Lord. Nothing was too hard for thee in respect of that awful man Manasseh, that awful man Saul of Tarsus. Nothing too hard for thee, Lord. Are there any, Lord, that have put up their chief complaint to thee at this time, even their sins and iniquities? O Lord, that they come to one that is able to save unto the uttermost. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear them, Lord, and draw them to thyself by the cords of thy love, that they might know thee in thy love and mercy in salvation. So do appear, Lord, we pray thee. We do pray and thank thee, Lord, that the gospel is preached. It is preached this day. It is proclaimed and set forth, Lord, that good news of salvation, that joyful sound to which the people will hear and receive. Oh, but the joyful sound of peace and pardon through the blood of Jesus is the mercy. And we do pray, Lord, that the church may this day again rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, then, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to thy people, those that have come to seek thee for thy mercy. Look down upon them. Those, Lord, that have come into the means of grace for a word in season to their souls, to support them and to strengthen them in their way and path, perhaps through trials and afflictions and troubles here below, to lift them up, Lord, and to give them, Lord, a little confidence and trust in thyself, that thou art with them, Lord, and that thou wilt bring them all their journey through. O Lord, we do pray, come to the comfort of their souls, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come, Lord, to each, Lord, in our denomination that worship at thy feet at this time. We prayerfully commit them into thy hands. Lord, be with each that gather together, some in but twos and threes, some in greater numbers, Lord, but really and truly just a remnant in the earth, Lord, do appear unto each and every one. Lord, we pray, and through the Spirit, show thy presence with them, Lord, and pray that through the word thou wilt appear to them, and to the good and the edifying, the building up of their souls in Christ Jesus, to learn and to know of thee, Lord, we do pray. And so, Lord, be with thy church and people here that gather together week by week in thy name. Hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up to thee, Lord. And give them, Lord, we pray, the answers of peace. Lord, thou knowest their needs, Lord, as they approach unto thee. We do pray, Lord, help, Lord, this little company here to grow and prosper yet more and more, Lord, of those gathered in to the company of thy saints, Lord. Oh, we do pray that we may see it, Lord, in this thy house of prayer. So, Lord, do come, Lord. Help thy servant to speak in thy name, Lord. Show him what to say, Lord. Give him utterance, Lord, through the Spirit. Lead him and teach him, Lord. And pray that through the word, that it may be a good and a seasonable word to each and every soul, to their spiritual good and welfare. We do pray, Lord, subdue all sin, and let not sin have dominion over us, we pray. And we ask these mercies, and with the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
in 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We seek to draw your attention to the Psalm 20 that we read together, and reading by way of a text from verse 5. Psalm 20, and reading from verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. This is a psalm where the church are praising and blessing their king for all his exploits, all that he goes forth in the name of God to the defence and to the keeping of the children of Israel, and of which David truly here spoken of went forth to many battles. The children of Israel had many enemies to contend against, and this is indeed a psalm, and where the church are indeed blessing and praising their king, even David, in his exploits, in his goings forth against all their enemies, and that the Lord would so graciously use him for their protection and for their defence. We have the truth of this word that was shown to us in the portion that we read together, and where in the second of Samuel and in chapter 10 we read of such exploits of David going forth against the enemies. We have the Ammonites, and we have they sought help of the Syrian army also to come against the children of Israel. But we have the truth and the blessing in respect of this battle that ensued, and where indeed there were those there that strove against David and his army, and sought to destroy Israel. And we have in verse 7 in Psalm 20 that we read together, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That is who David strove against his enemies. It wasn't in any strength of his own, or any endeavour of his own, or any plotting and planning and scheming of his own, that David was able to overcome his enemies. And dear friends, this is the truth in respect of the church. You see, David knew he needed his God. He needed his God to go forth through all his enemies. And how often David inquired of his God in respect of the battle that was before him. And we have then this truth, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We read together in the truth of his word in verse 18 of the 2nd of Samuel chapter 10, and the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobak the captain of their host, who died there. Cannot trust in chariots and horses, dear friends, but we can trust in the name of the Lord our God. Dear friends, let us never lean upon an arm of flesh. David didn't trust in himself to overcome his enemies. Neither can the church today. They're much, much more stronger and powerful than we are, dear friends. But oh, we've got a God to go to. We can put all our trust and our confidence in Him who continually works for and on the part of His people. And dear friends, what a mercy if we can come to Him and commit everything that concerns us into His hand. We will experience enemies without, dear friends. They're all about us on every side. And then the truth of this, enemies within. Oh, let us not forget those, dear friends. They are the mighty enemies. You see, never let us trust in ourselves. David wasn't brought here to do that. We know that there are those instances when David forgot that he had a God to go to. In respect of Achish and so forth, you know the story in respect of that. David turned away from him, dear friends, who was all his strength and all his power, able to overcome all his enemies. But here we have this instance in this psalm. But let us see the truth of this, as I do believe the application of it is not just in respect of the children of Israel, whom they did bless and praise the king for his exploits. They would have much prayed for him as he went forth to the battle. But it is that much that regards David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we look in this verse of our text, dear friends. The children of Israel did rejoice in David their king, that he did go forth, and this word salvation, he won many battles for them, defended them, protected them. And then there were those that did rejoice in the exploits of their king. But this is a word indeed, dear friends. David's greater son is here much more spoken of indeed. And we've been singing of salvation in our last hymn. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Who is it that can rejoice in his salvation? This is he, dear friends, the promised one, the Messiah. You know, the Old Testament church always looked to him. Oh, they were always their only hope. That is, in him that should come and provide salvation and deliverance for his people from all their enemies, all that opposed them, all that was in them by nature. We will rejoice in thy salvation. The church knew of this great salvation that should come to them. I know that we may have mentioned a little of this last Lord's Day, but we do have this great salvation shown to us. And where Christ was that one set forth, he's always been that one set forth in the sacrifices and the offerings and by and through the prophets. And we see the greatness of the salvation that the church could look and behold to in the sacrifices and the offerings. Christ was always set forth. And it was there, dear friends, that they saw and beheld their own salvation. It was by faith in him that should come. And then as the prophet spake of him and the glorious truths that were opened up concerning him in the Psalms, but then also we may relate to the 53rd of Isaiah, dear friends. And that, dear friends, is a word indeed through the Spirit that was given to the prophet Isaiah, and it seems to show the perfectness and the exactness of that work that he should come and accomplish for his people. And the children of Israel, they would look to that word. And I know that they were not in the fullness of it. We come today and we realize a little of the blessings and the truths of the gospel as they're revealed unto us, what Jesus did come and accomplish. But the faith of the Old Testament church, it was in this, wasn't it? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Enemies, dear friends. Now we will rejoice in thy salvation. Jesus came, and in our nature, and the blessing and the mercy that was found in that, dear friends, the church were found in their sins and iniquities. They were found, dear friends, with all the corruptions of the old nature within them, that fallen nature, that nature that brought the Lord's people to ruin. They all fell in Adam. And when I say brought all the Lord's people to ruin, it is in this context that the Lord knew all of those whom he loved from before the foundation of the world. He knew them all, and they all fell in Adam. But this is the great mercy. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent said, there was the recovery. There was the defeat of all the church's enemies. He that should overcome for them. And this is the greatness of this salvation here. We will rejoice in thy salvation. It was a truth. I just thought of the word in Zechariah chapter 9 and in verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That came to pass, didn't it, in respect of the dear Lord Jesus going forth to Jerusalem, dear friends? This is he that should be King of kings and Lord of lords. And greatly to rejoice, O daughter of Zion, thy king cometh. We will rejoice in thy salvation. He did come, didn't he? And he went forth to the work of his heavenly Father. That was the promise that was given in the beginning, that the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. There was the mercy of our God, dear friends. And who was that mercy to be shown to? It was to be shown to the church, every one of them. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And Jesus came, and we see and behold in the gospel that work that Jesus came to do. And neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We shall be saved. None other name. And Jesus went forth, dear friend, with the names of all those whom his heavenly Father gave to him. The names of everyone. And we may behold him for a moment in Gethsemane's garden. his head bowed down. The greatness of the work that was before him, the redemption of the church, their salvation, it was this that was always uppermost in his pure and holy soul, dear friends. Everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him, he also loved them, and he embraced them, and he prayed for them, and he often spake in the night watches in the mountains to his heavenly Father of this great salvation, and everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. That he was come forth, and now entering to the greatness of that work in Gethsemane's garden, bowed down, sweating as it were great drops of blood. He was to bear in body and soul together the sins and the iniquities of his people, to bear them all away. We will rejoice in thy salvation. There's a place here to rejoice, dear friends. If faith will lead us and bring us to Gethsemane's garden and to behold this pure, this holy man of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent forth to redeem his people from their sins, now burdened and in need of strength and succor from an angel, dear friends. This pure man and the blessedness of God's glory in Jesus, the redemption of the church. This was God's greatest glory, the gift of his dearly beloved Son into this world. See him in agonies and in blood, bowed down, dear friends, because he was to bear the burden, the sins of the church in his body upon the tree. He went forth. With the love of every one of them in his heart, dear friends, laid upon his breast, he rose up from Gethsemane and went forth to Calvary. See the love that Jesus held out towards his people. Yes, those wicked hands did take him, crucified him, fastened him upon the tree. And then the crown of thorns, the nails that pierced through his body, the wounds and the bruises. And this man, indeed, this real man, in our nature except sin, felt and endured all the pain, for all his bones were out of joint. His visage was more marred than any man's. And he suffered upon the tree at Calvary. And it was a work of propitiation, dear friends, of appeasement, because God had to be satisfied. And he beheld the greatness of this pure and holy sacrifice in the person of his dearly beloved Son, suffering for everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him, so that his heavenly Father could love them, so that his heavenly Father could be enjoined to them, that they should indeed become his children. This is the purposes of this great salvation, that God was to become their Father, reconciled unto him through Jesus, And it is through Jesus and his sufferings and death that the wrath of God and the punishment of God for all our sins were laid upon Jesus, so that the church should not suffer those sins and iniquities in eternal punishment and damnation. But Jesus suffered, and it was the likeness of hell that was deserving to us that he passed through. Those awful sufferings upon the cross at Calvary. And then it is finished. The work was done. And that time that Jesus said that it is finished was such a precise and an exact time, because it was the time that his heavenly Father saw that pure and holy sacrifice, that he was well and truly satisfied, that the church was safe and redeemed. What was it, dear friends? It was the blood that was shed, dear friends. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no pardon, dear friends. No, we're in utter danger unless we feel the blessing and the power of that precious blood shed for sinners at Calvary. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Jesus overcame all the enemies of the church, just as King David went out against all the enemies of the children of Israel. So the King Jesus, dear friends, see how he destroyed all the enemies of the church, the world that was in us, the devil that was in us, sin that was in us, dear friends, and the awful state of our condition by nature. All our attachments, dear friends, all our so-called knowledge, everything destroyed, so that the poor sinner is brought helpless, poor. And when the Spirit of the Lord, dear friends, will give to us the solemn truth of the knowledge of our sins and iniquities, then there's a weaning period, a weaning time. Sometimes it is very quickly, in others a little longer. It was very quickly in Saul of Tarsus, but in others it may be a little longer. But we will rejoice in thy salvation, a perfect, full, and free salvation in Jesus. Can we rejoice in this salvation, dear friends? Can we rejoice in it today? The church could rejoice in David's exploits for them and on their behalf. They looked up to him. They knew it was through the Lord. But they looked at him to go forth in his name. Dear friends, what about thy case and thy condition today? We will rejoice in thy salvation. Is here all thy trust, all thy hope, for all thy needy condition before the Lord? Are we rendered helpless, dear friends, but depending and looking only unto Jesus? The Ethiopian eunuch could go on his way rejoicing, couldn't he? Or he received the blessing of the atonement in his conscience to clear away all his guilt, his defilement. We will rejoice in thy salvation. This salvation is preached today. It is preached in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is essentially what we are here thinking of. His salvation, a gospel that holds good news to poor, ruined sinners. Do we feel our need of Jesus? Is this, dear friends, our presence before the Lord at this time in the means of grace? Praying that the Lord would meet thy case and thy need? When the Lord showed to me my sins, dear friends, I had no other hope but what Jesus came to do. It was fixed. It was trusting only in and upon him. There was no other. Sin was the plague of my soul. It laid me low, brought to cry, to mourn. But it was after Christ. It was for his mercy. And then the Lord appeared, and I could be one of these. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Dear friends, let Christ alone be thy only hope and thy only need. We live in a day that the gospel is preached, and it's a gospel preached to sinners, not for any that have got any good in them, dear friends. Salvation cannot be supplemented. It's full and free in Jesus. This is the blessing and the mercy, you see, of our God, because he is a gift. A gift, an unspeakable gift. What an abhorrence it is to our God, dear friends, of any that come with any strength or any will and power of their own. Full and free salvation for sinners. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Dear friends, urge and press thy case. There is mercy that flows through the blood of Jesus. And that mercy flows today. That precious blood flows today. And it is towards those, the vilest sinner out of hell, dear friends. That is the mercy. I just think of a word as I'm speaking, but it is a word though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Dear friends, the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord, is shown to us and revealed to us our great salvation, shown to us how to obtain this salvation. Dear friends, if the Spirit of the Lord has come upon thee and shown thee thy sins, then what doth Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labour. Salvation is full and free. It's those who have, through the Spirit of the Lord, been burdened, brought to labour. Now Jesus says, come unto me. The work has been begun through the Spirit. One burden, one labouring. Then Jesus, dear friends, is thy only hope. And he bids the sinner, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Put away all thy sins and iniquities, all the burden of thy soul, all the violence of thy heart, all the corruptions of thy life. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. because Jesus took them all upon him. They were all imputed, taken from thee. And the Lord Jesus imputed them to put them away forever. We will rejoice in thy salvation. There are those here, dear friends, that can rejoice in this salvation. And they will bear witness to the truth that it was that Jesus came to do for them. They came with nothing in their hands, no good thing to plead, only their sins and their iniquities and the corruption of their hearts. It's all they bore with them. But Jesus was pleased in the fullness of time to come to them, to wash away all these sins, and then able to say, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. In the name of our God. Dear friends, he is all our trust and all our confidence, isn't he? The name of our God. Why, he gave to us this salvation, that he should become our Father in heaven. And in the name of our God, because of what he has wrought for us through the person of his dearly beloved Son, all our trust and all our confidence is found in him. It was in David as king. I just go back to that chapter, if I can find it, where David indeed, I think it's the 17th of the 1st of Samuel, he was found before Goliath. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He didn't come in his own strength, dear friends, but all his trust and all his confidence was in the Lord his God. Do believe that David knew him this time to be his Saviour and Redeemer, and he came forth in that name. Dear friends, we haven't got any other name to plead. No other. That all precious name of Jesus. He took our whole cause in hand at Calvary, but we're continuing. We're continuing. How can we keep ourselves? How can we preserve ourselves? How shall we come through our course, dear friends? Still have with us this poor body of sin and death, knowing and feeling our own weakness and our own insufficiency. He is our only help. Sometimes he will bring us into the experiences, dear friends, of discovering this. Sometimes we may go forth in our own strength. We may have known this, dear friends, thinking we know what to do right and how to keep ourselves. But Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing, and we learn that, don't we? We can't do anything. We belong to Jesus now, dear friends. That all precious name of Jesus. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We're still going forth to the battle. We still have enemies. We still have Satan. And dear friends, Satan is found enclosed in every enemy. That is the truth. A roaring lion. We have many enemies, dear friends. How shall we come through them? This will have to be a little short this morning. Just thinking of a word, but it's in Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And oh, the many and various ways and means that this enemy will come in like a flood. It's Satan. Seeks, dear friends, to put stumbling blocks in thy way and path. Seeks, dear friends, to put doubts and fears and unbelief in thy heart. He seeks, dear friends, to divert thee out of the way of salvation. Oh, he doesn't want thee, dear friends, to come to the fullness of that eternal salvation that we've spoken of, even everlasting life. No, he will be a constant enemy. And, dear friends, he will use the solemn truth of the corruptions of our own hearts to do it. He will come into the pews of the Lord's house, dear friends. He will. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The gospel is a banner, isn't it? Isn't that something, dear friends, what we've got? Something that can never be taken away from us, really. That is what the church is saying here. Set up our banners. Why? It's in the fullness of the gospel. I just go back to that Isaiah chapter 11. And it's a good word. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Dear friends, it's a standard. And you know how they held up their banners and their standards to go forth to the war and to the battle. They looked up to them, dear friends. And it was their trust and their confidence. It was in their God. Dear friends, what a banner we have in the gospel. And it's not just banner, is it? It's banners. It's in the plural. What have we got, dear friends? Because our time is nearly gone, I shall just come to, I had one or two thoughts in this respect of this, but our time is a little shorter this morning. But what does Paul write to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6? He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Dear friends, he's everywhere about, isn't he? Oh, all the evil and the wickedness that is in the world, all the temptations that are in the world, and all that are about us, dear friends. And we have no strength, dear friends, against all his temptations. But oh, we can raise up our banners. And the Lord's dear people will, because of that new seed of heavenly birth that was in them. They are those that need their Lord to help them to continue. And they would not depart from him. No. He has done such great things for them. The witness of a crucified Saviour is in the soul. And what a gracious witness it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This whole armour of God is the gospel, and everything that the gospel holds for his dear people, and it enumerates, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And dear friends, it includes all false teaching, false religion, dear friends, that Satan is an angel of light in all that. He is an angel of light, so crafty and subtle as he was in the beginning. Don't be taken in by him, dear friends. This is the salvation here. It's full and free in Jesus. And here we have all the divine doctrines of sovereign grace, dear friends. Those things that are in our God, all manifest in Jesus. The doctrine of his divine love and election, the doctrine of mediation, the cross of Jesus, the doctrine of his righteousness upon us, being justified through him, And the doctrine of adoption, dear friends, and the doctrine of the gospel that is in us, the word of his truth, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Dear friends, we stand upon the blessedness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't we? This is our peace. We stand upon what he has done and what he has wrought for us at Calvary. That is where we stand, dear friends. What a mercy it is. And it's in the whole of his word and his truth. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Dear friends, these are the blessings that belong to the Lord's dear people. The truth. Doctrine of truth, the scriptures. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was so sorely tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights, what did he? He had the word of God, dear friends, wasn't it? It was the word that he brought against him. And Satan, dear friends, has got no authority over that, dear friends. No, none whatsoever. Your loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It may be, dear friends, that we may be wearing those shoes of iron and brass, dear friends. It's a foundation, this gospel, isn't it? Jesus laid it at Calvary. And that is what we're resting in and upon. And then, above all, taking the shield of faith, Jesus, the only refuge of our souls, our only trust in that shield. And that shield, Jesus, a refuge for poor sinners. This is and to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What a mercy that we have these wrought within us by and through Jesus and his cross, through the graces of the Holy Spirit upon us. We've got weapons of warfare to go out against our enemies. Our time is gone. I won't be able to just open up. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. All the prayers of David, fulfill. And he was a praying man, wasn't he? We see it in the word. But also all the petitions here of Jesus. Answer all his petitions. I had some parts of scripture to open up this, but our time is gone. But we sit just as an example, the 17th of John. See the petitions of the Lord there for his church. Answer all thy petitions. And in his human nature, dear friends, as our nature, he needed help. And his heavenly Father gave him that help. And Jesus petitioned for that help, you see, to bring him through, that he might fulfill this salvation. But then, dear friends, what are your petitions? What are my petitions? What is your case? What is my case? What is my need? Your need? What was the need of Anna? Eli said, "The Lord, give thee thy petitions." Poor Anna crying before the Lord. And the Lord came and answered her petition. Well, dear friends, commit these things to you for his name's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £720, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £1,082, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Field will also preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening, and Mr. James Rudd is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day, we hope to hold collections for famine relief in Zimbabwe and Ethiopia. Let us close with hymn 123. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies. Revenge, the blood of Abel cries. But the dear stream when Christ was slain speaks peace as loud from every vein. Hymn 123.
Grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion, God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.